2. Kelsier no longer worried about madness or boredom. Each time he grew weary of his imprisonment, he remembered that feeling, that humiliation, he'd felt at Drifter's hands. Yes, he was trapped in a space only 5 or so feet across, but there was plenty to do. First, he returned to his study of the thing beyond. He forced himself to duck beneath the light to face it and meet its inscrutable gaze. He did it until he didn't flinch when it turned its attention on him. Ruin. A fitting name for that vast sense of erosion, decay, and destruction. He continued to follow the well's pulses. These trips gave him cryptic clues to ruin's motives and plots. He sensed a familiar pattern to the things it changed, for ruin seemed to be doing what Kelsier himself had done, co-opting a religion. Ruin was manipulating the hearts of the people by changing their lore and books. That terrified Kelsier. His purpose expanded as he watched the world through these pulses. He didn't just need to understand. He needed to fight this thing. This horrible force that would end all things, if it could. He struggled, therefore, with a desperation to understand what he saw. Why did ruin transform the old terrace prophecies? What was the Drifter, whom Kelsier spotted in very rare pulses, doing up in the terrace dominance? Who was this mysterious Mistborn to whom ruin paid so much attention, and was he a threat to Vin? When he rode the pulses, Kelsier watched for, craved, signs of people he knew and loved. Ruin was keenly interested in Vin, and many of his pulses centered on watching her or the man she loved, that Ellen Venture. The mounting clues worried Kelsier. Armies around Luthadel, a city still in chaos, and, he hated to confront this one, it looked like the Venture boy was king. When Kelsier realized this, he was so angry he spent days away from the pulses. They'd gone and put a nobleman in charge. Yes, Kelsier had saved this man's life. Against his better judgment, he'd rescued the man that Vin loved. Out of love for her, perhaps a twisted paternal sense of duty. The Venture boy hadn't been too bad compared to the rest of his kind. But to give him the throne? It seemed that even Dox was listening to Venture. Kelsier would have expected Breeze to ride whatever wind came his way, but Doxon? Kelsier fumed, but he could not remain away for long. He hungered for these glimpses of his friends. Though each was only a brief flash, like a single image from eyes blinked open, he clung to them. They were reminders that outside his prison, life continued. Occasionally, he was given a glimpse of someone else. His brother, Marsh. Marsh lived. That was a welcome discovery. Unfortunately, the discovery was tainted, for Marsh was an inquisitor. The two of them had never been what one would call familial. They had taken divergent paths in life, but that wasn't the true source of the distance between them. It wasn't even due to Marsh's stern ways butting against Kelsier's glibness, or Marsh's unspoken jealousy for things Kelsier had. No, the truth was they had been raised knowing that at any point they could be dragged before the Inquisitors and murdered for their half-blooded nature. Each had reacted differently to an entire life spent, essentially, with a death sentence. Marsh, with quiet tension and caution, Kelsier, with aggressive self-confidence to mask his secrets. Both had known a single, inescapable truth. If one brother were caught, it meant the other would be exposed as a half-blood and likely killed as well. Perhaps this situation would have brought other siblings together. Kelsier was ashamed to admit that for him and Marsh, it had been a wedge. Each mention of stay safe or watch yourself had been colored by an undercurrent of don't screw up or you'll get me killed. It had been a vast relief when, after their parents' deaths, the two of them had agreed to give up pretense and enter the underground of Luthadel. At times, Kelsier toyed with fantasies of what might have been. Could he and Marsh have integrated fully, becoming part of noble society? Could he have overcome his loathing for them and their culture? Regardless, he wasn't fond of Marsh. The word fond sounded too much of walks in a park or time spent eating pastries. One was fond of a favorite book. No, Kelsier was not fond of Marsh. But strangely, he still loved him. He was initially happy to find the man alive, but then perhaps death would have been better than what had been done to him. It took Kelsier weeks to figure out the reason Ruin was so interested in Marsh. Ruin could talk to Marsh. Marsh and other Inquisitors, judging by the glimpses and the sensation he received of words being sent. How? Why Inquisitors? Kelsier found no answers in the visions he saw, though he did witness an important event. The thing called Ruin was growing stronger, and it was stalking Bin and Elend. Kelsier saw it clearly in a trip through the pulses. A vision of the boy, Elend Venture, sleeping in his tent. The power of Ruin coalescing, forming a figure, malevolent and dangerous. It waited there until Vin entered, then tried to stab Elend. As Kelsier lost the pulse, he was left with the image of Vin deflecting the blow and saving Elend. But he was confused. Ruin had waited there specifically until Vin returned. It hadn't actually wanted to hurt Elend. It had just wanted Vin to see him trying. Why?